The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, listen up, all you conservative anti-vaccine mandate, anti-mask people. My sixth grader may never give up her mask. If only adults, meaning you guys, if only adults could be this grown up. This was in the LA Times just the other day on the 16th. This is how the mask mandate is going in our house, she writes. On Monday, the sixth grader who wore a surgical mask all day at school, including when she ran a mile in PE, came home and plopped onto the couch to start her Mandarin homework. I'm so impressed. You can take off your mask now, I said. I don't want to, she said. It's so comfortable. That is not unusual. My 11-year-old niece is better at following public health directives than most adults I know. About 10 months ago, when we picked her up a new puppy in Carlsbad, a far more politically conservative area than Venice, the maskless man of the house looked at my niece and said, "Can I ask you a question? Why are you wearing that mask?" "I like to," she replied. "It makes me feel safe." What could he say? "Take it off. I don't want you to feel safe." He just shrugged. Recently, when public health officials advised that cloth masks were not as effective in reducing the transmission of the Omicron variant, my niece switched from her beloved fabric masks, which were a pain to keep clean, to disposable paper ones with zero complaint. I think about this when I see posts on social media that are variations on the same whiny theme. Few football fans appeared to be wearing masks at the Super Bowl on Sunday. Clips of various unmasked celebrities are making the rounds, but children all over Los Angeles will be forced to wear masks when they return to school on Monday. How unconscionable. Oh, please, she writes. The LA Times, Robin Abkarian, just the other day on February 14th. So you got that version of reality, or this one. This is from a doctor to his patients. This is a letter that he sent to his patients. Effective immediately, all forms of child abuse will no longer be tolerated in my office. This includes masking children. Just as I would never tolerate a parent beating their child or burning him with a cigarette lighter in my presence, I will not condone or allow minors to enter my office with their faces covered. My first ethical responsibility as a physician is to do no harm to my patients, and allowing children to mask their faces has caused and continues to cause tremendous harm to them physically, emotionally, psychologically, and developmentally. Goes on to say this: over the past year, referrals to speech and language therapists have increased by between 25 and 300%, depending on locale. Younger children have suffered a 24% cognitive decline, along with 22 IQ point loss among infants. On and on and on it goes. I've described those for the last 2 years as the dominoes lining up behind COVID itself. And I've also started saying about 2 years ago, we brought an atom bomb to a knife fight. And what we need in this country, and praise the Lord that more and more people are stepping up, are people like our guest today, Dr. Mark McDonald. Donald is a clinical psychiatrist. He specializes in children. He's also with America's Frontline Doctors. He was just minding his own business, but not anymore. Dr. Mark McDonald, how are you, man? Thanks for being a part of the
Hi,
show.
Hi, Steve. No, I can't mind my own business anymore. I'm not even allowed to.
Which is great. We're also going to talk about mass delusional psychosis, or if you're a Joe Rogan fan, you might have heard Dr. Malone talking to Joe Rogan about mass formation psychosis. We're going to talk about that. We're going to dip in a little bit to the book that the good doctor put out. I've got a link up that you can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, a bunch of other places. United States of Fear, How America Fell Victim to a Mass Delusional Psychosis. Fear is the name of the game today on the show. This is why the background for those of you on Facebook Live is red, because fear has consumed this country, but it didn't just start. This has been going on for a while. But how did your kind of COVID mass clinical psychiatry, looking out for the kids, how did this kind of get going for you, Mark? Because like the rest of us, you were just living your life back in January of 2020, but that changed.
It changed when I was invited to speak at the LA County School Board of Education meeting in May of 2020. I was invited by Dr. Jeff Barkey, who is now my co-podcast host on Informed Dissent. He's a family practice physician down in the OC, which is a conservative bastion here in California that is actually still somewhat urban. Other than that, you really have to go into the rural outskirts to find people who are not either leftist or liberal leftist sympathizers. When I went to that meeting, after about 4 hours of listening to diatribes coming in through the Zoom feed, because that was the only way that the pro-school closure crowd could actually be present safely, in their view.
Yeah.
And a litany of really impassioned and articulate comments from physically in-present American. When I say American, I don't mean like born in America. I mean American naturalized resident, native, diverse group of really concerned American parents in the room speaking out against school closures. I was called to speak for about 2 minutes, and I didn't have any notes. I had just been sitting there listening and wondering, what on earth are we doing here the whole time? So that's what I said. I said, why are we here? What are we talking about? And I meant it rhetorically, but then I paused and I answered my own question, and I said this. I said, we're here because we, the adults, are afraid. We are afraid, and we are letting down our children by projecting our fears and anxieties onto them. We are abdicating our parental responsibilities. We are sacrificing a generation, a whole generation of children that are going to be living in their parents' basements till they're 45 years old. This is abominable. It's abhorrent. We have to stop it now. That quote was repeated the following week, somehow, somewhere, in the New York Times, I'm sorry, the Wall Street Journal, in the notables and quotables section. And that was the beginning of my movement to become public about my views that I was witnessing and experiencing up until then only in private in my clinical office practice, which was that children were being psychologically harmed and damaged by the government response to the viral pandemic.
Yeah, we turned children into a lab rat, and then we use them, adults use them to virtue signal for themselves, and so they're just pawns in this whole game. And going back early enough, I mean, when it first happened in, you know, February of 2020, March of 2020, 14 days to flatten the curve, 30 days, whatever, I think most of us, Dr. McDonald, we're like, okay, we don't know what we're dealing with here. This looks like it potentially could be pretty bad. I'm willing to go along with this for a little while. But it didn't take long for this kind of strange, and we'll get into this, psychosis to take over. You're like, all right, this has now moved into the world of irrationality. People are just being irrational. And how did that kind of get on your radar screen? Because obviously that's been part of your modus operandi.
Well, I wrote a whole book about this, and you mentioned it earlier, United States of Fear, which I published in November of this past year. And some of the anecdotes in that book came from my experience here in Los Angeles, witnessing the what I would call the pandemic of psychosis, the pandemic of mass delusional psychosis. Every person becoming crazy, irrational, delusional, all at the same time.
Right.
It's not a fully a deux, it's a fully a millions. And as an example, I would leave my house in the morning, and I would have to think for about 3 or 4 seconds to remind myself I am entering an outdoor insane asylum.
Right. Yeah. You actually said that
in my book because that is honestly
that's exactly what it is. We're talking to Dr. Mark McDonald. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. All right, check this out. And we'll get back to our guest. So I started the show reading from this column in the Los Angeles Times just the other day, February 16th. My sixth grader may never give up her mask. If only adults could be this grown up. She goes on to say, because we're going to be talking about fear, especially today with Dr. Mark McDonald, a clinical psychiatrist, specializes in children, by the way. He's out in L.A., also a part of America's Frontline Doctors. Praise the Lord for that. But listen to this. So this is a allegedly an intelligent person who's in the media world, who's a reporter, and supposed to be a fact checker kind of person. Okay, she writes this. I find the metrics dizzying. She's talking about mask mandates and all the other stuff. But since I'm a journalist, not an epidemiologist, I respect the consensus of experts. I don't, as so many anti-mandators proclaim, do my own research in an effort to contradict the doctors and researchers whose knowledge I can never duplicate. So she doesn't even bother to question it. Even though she's a journalist, she won't do her own research as a journalist. If you're a journalist, doesn't that make you a researcher by definition? That's how crazy this is. And she doesn't want to deal with the truth because of fear. So the truth, especially if we talk about kids, I'm so sick of talking about this, but we have to keep talking about it. I've had these stats in front of me for about a year and a half. Okay, just looking at the death rates and looking at how many kids there are in America, so on and so forth. So if you want to look at death for kids 22 and under, allegedly from COVID, okay, we don't even have a hard number on that, but let's just go with it. It's a 0.000012 chance of death, okay? That's 1 in 83,000 chance of death from COVID. Here's some other things that you have a chance of death from. For children, okay, 22 and under. One in 107, a car crash. One in 289, a gun assault. One in 543, pedestrian incident. One in 899, a motorcycle accident. And one in 1,128, drowning. One in 1,547, fire or smoke. And then you have one in 8,200 from sunstroke, for goodness sakes. One in 58,000 from a cataclysmic storm like a hurricane or tornado. One in 86,000. Okay, now we're into COVID range here. One in 86,000 from a dog attack. So what we need to do is ban dogs, storms, the sun, all forms of fire, water, get rid of the motorcycles, don't allow anybody to walk around, get rid of all the guns, of course, and then get rid of all the cars. Can't let kids be in cars. If you care, that's what you should do. But no, we're going to go with the dog attack number and mask everybody. That is not rational. I say this all the time. Ideology trumps reality. Reality no longer matters. Fear is what drives it. That's why we're talking to Dr. Mark McDonald. Sorry for that long-winded pontification there, Mark. I just had to say that.
Well, I feel your frustration, Steve, because I started, as probably you did, trying to educate people, giving them information, giving them facts, giving them reason, so that I wouldn't be met constantly with this, well, that's just your opinion, Dr. McDonald, or well, how come the majority of other people say the following? I would say, well, why don't you think for yourself? What do you think about the information I just presented? It's not an opinion, it's actual data. Oh, well, that's a conspiracy. Oh, well, that's biased. Oh, that was debunked. So what I realized fairly quickly was that I wasn't actually having a debate or a conversation or an intellectual argument. What I was doing, what I was trying to do was change somebody's feeling state. It would be like a girlfriend of her girl saying to her, you know, that guy that you're dating, Cindy, you know, he's a abusive man. He's a drunk. He's a criminal. The last girl that he was out with, he knocked her to the ground and kicked her in the face in a drunken, savage attack. If this woman really likes the guy, that's not going to matter. Mm-hmm. She's going to say, oh, come on, that story was debunked. Oh, you just don't like him because he's got a better car than you do. You're always jealous of the guys that I go out with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Only until she actually gets beaten up is she going to then say, wow, my girlfriend was right. This guy is a bad guy. So you can't argue with facts when someone is emotionally held to a position. So what I started to do was I started to find what was the feeling behind it. And feelings were primarily driven by fear. So if you can connect up with somebody in their fear state, if you can say, what is it that you're feeling? Why are you not going outside? Are you angry? Are you depressed? Are you anxious? No, I'm just really scared. I don't want to die. Okay, well, let's talk about the feeling first. And then once I could connect up with the person and that person could see that I actually understood emotionally where he was coming from, then I detected an opening at times or some curiosity and interest in getting more information. So more recently, what I've been telling people who say, how do you talk to people who are afraid? I'd say this. First, assess whether there is an element of curiosity present.
Right.
If there is curiosity, there is a will and there is a way and there's a possibility of changing their mind. If that person is not curious, if you say, gosh, you know, it's been 2 years. If everything we were doing was working, why are we still in this situation? It's a nice kind of vague question. It doesn't give any sort of biases, just kind of what's going on? And if the answer is, well, I can tell you what's going on. That Donald Trump, he's just wrecking our country still from his resort down in Boca. That's not a curious response. So just leave. Don't even bother continuing.
Yeah.
If, on the other hand, the answer is, you know what? I've noticed that a lot of people that were wearing masks and getting shots and social distancing and staying at home and quarantining and testing and isolating, they all got sick over Christmas. That's really weird. Ah, curiosity. Yeah. Now you can continue to talk. So that's where I am now. It took me 2 years to get to this point, Steve, but that's where I've arrived at.
Yeah, and so that's dealing with people on an individual level, which is important.
Correct.
I need to try from a Christian perspective. And by the way, you may not know this, but you have excellent theology. I can just a bunch of things that you're saying, I could jump into the scriptures right now and make the same case.
Well, so, I did graduate from Loyola High School in Los Angeles.
Oh, there you go.
Jesuit school.
There you go. So then those Jesuits are pretty serious. So that's good.
They are really serious.
So you kind of move from this individual thing to mass delusional psychosis or mass formation psychosis, if you're listening to Dr. Malone on Rogan. So let's talk about that, because I think it's important that people need to understand, and this is part of a bigger narrative. Okay, there's an individual and their fear and what they're experiencing, but there is a bigger narrative here.
Yes.
And you talk about this as well, which is fascinating to me from a Christian perspective, is there something evil behind this? We'll get to that. But let's talk about this whole notion of a mass delusional psychosis, because obviously that's been attacked pretty readily because it's just making too much sense.
Yeah. Well, I first used the word and the term, the expression mass delusional psychosis back in the summer of 2020. I was speaking in Washington, D.C. on the Supreme Court steps with Dr. Simone Gold and others to attack this abusive practice of shutting schools down, masking children, keeping them at home, which had just sort of gone into full swing. And how I described it in terms of how it came about is we are under a state of mass delusional psychosis. I said that. It's still up. If anyone wants to check on the Charlie Kirk website, it says October of 2020, but I think I actually spoke about it in August. That got a lot of publicity for a brief period of time, and then it sort of disappeared. It reappeared again when Robert Malone showed up on the Joe Rogan show and used this term, which is actually a neologism and as well as redundant, which is mass formation psychosis. Formation meaning psychosis, so mass psychosis. He just invented it. You know, he's a smart guy, but he's a lab researcher. He's a scientist. He's not a treating physician, and he's not a psychologist or a psychiatrist. So fortunately, you know, any sort of mimicry, I guess, is good publicity and is nice for you. But I then had to sort of explain what he really meant by this and explain it in my terms, which is what I just did a few minutes ago with you.
Hold that. We're up against the break. Hold that thought. We're going to hit the commercial break on radio. We'll still be on Facebook Live. By the way, if you're on radio and you're wondering what we're doing during the breaks, well, you're just going to have to go to the Facebook page to find out. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking today to Dr. Mark McDonald, who's a clinical psychiatrist specializing in children. So we're going to talk about that angle as well with respect to what we've been doing to them since we've been putting masks on their faces. Also, he's with America's Frontline Doctors and was willing to start speaking out. And then all of a sudden, that changed his life as COVID has changed all of our lives. Now, here in Raleigh, for example, Dr. McDonald, thanks again for your time today. Like, they're removing the mask mandate on Friday. So the fear is, speaking of fear, that people are going to say, oh, praise the Lord, our masks are off. And so now we don't have the mask mandate. We don't have the vaccine mandate in some places. Everything's fine. We can go back to normal. They don't realize that we're actually 2 years further down a road. That's part of the kind of grand scheme. I wanted to mention to you on the break when we were talking on the commercial break on Facebook Live. If you've spent any time looking at the Great Reset, because the Great Reset, this is all just like a perfect setup for all kinds of things. And that's why mass delusional psychosis and this massive the momentum of fear that's gripped at least half. I mean, what percentage of this nation, Mark, do you think has been gripped by fear in the last 2 years because of COVID?
In the urban areas, it's somewhere around 70-80%.
Yeah, in urban areas, which are largely blue. And again, I could come at this from a Christian perspective and go, okay, well, when you turn your back on God, you're going to turn your face to something else. And in this case, who's your God? Who's your Savior? Who's going to take care of you? It's the government. It's those in charge. So you look to them and you're just going to do whatever they ask you to do. And you're not going to think, just like this alleged reporter out of the LA Times wasn't going to bother to do her own research. It's really shocking. And have you been surprised by it at all, Mark? Because I know once you studied it and you wrote about this in your book, United States of Fear, How America Fell Victim to a Mass Delusional Psychosis. To me, this isn't a shock at all. It's just kind of the natural progression.
It is a natural progression. Ask yourself, whether you agree with what I'm saying or not, ask yourself, who and what has been under assault in the last 5 to 10 years? And who and what has been supported and provided protection? And if you're honest with yourself, you're going to come up with a pretty good list that's going to match what I have in my book. Those who've been under attack, those who are religious, the churches, homeschoolers, families, the Boy Scouts, independent survivalists who wish to have their own generators and protect themselves with their own firearms, those who wish to read and publish books and articles without being censored. All of these people have been under attack for a very long time. Look at the side that's protected. Those who riot under the name of BLM, those who are transgender, those who wish to push solar power credits, disarm the populace, turn everything secular, take God and civics out of our school system, shut down the Cub Scouts and the Boy Scouts, push boys who say that they're transgendered into women's sports so they can run roughshod over Pennsylvania swimming team.
Right.
I mean, these are not opinions. This is just historical facts. And if you step back and ask yourself why, where does path A lead? Where does path B lead? I think it's very clear. The first path leads towards a citizenry that is independent, independent-minded, does not need the government, certainly not the federal government, and relies on their children, their parents, their community, their church, their civic organizations, their own fuel, their own guns, and their own schools. The other group,
which, by the way, is the original intent and design of the United States of America.
Exactly. That's why this is not a partisan issue. This is an American versus anti-American position.
Yeah.
And to say that you're a patriot, as I was saying earlier, if you say that you're a a conservative, now you're spreading misinformation, now you're a dissident. So if you say that you're a patriot, if you say that you're a traditional, a pro-American values person, you're called a misogynist, a racist, a homophobe, et cetera, et cetera. Language has distorted the underlying values of this country. Now, if you say that you're on path B, if you say that you are a single woman, secular, atheist, believes in public education, high taxes, high-density urban environments where you use public transportation, no cars, you use the police to protect yourself, you have solar energy, you're a vegan, you don't eat meat, and you never go to church, and of course you don't want to get married or have children, now you're a very great, a secure, supportive, good-willed American who's contributing towards a great nation. This is really the end game here, in my view. This is where you go from mask to tyranny. And people say, oh, you're crazy. Masks are just a choice. Masks are just a mask. They are not. They are a symbol of fear. And that fear is what drives people towards the government because they've turned their backs against their family and against their religion. And at that point, once you've lost, now you have to rely on the government to keep you safe. And you seek out safety and protection as opposed to liberty. And now you're done. Now you're cooked.
Well, that's one of the people at the World Economic Forum writing for the Great Reset was trying to imagine life at the Great Reset. They could pull it off and go look at yourselves. And I've done many, many shows on the Great Reset. I've got another one coming up. And her point was, okay, they asked her, tell us what it would look like in 20 or 30 years if the Great Reset were successful. And she said, well, I would own nothing. I would claim to have a claim to nothing. I would really have no rights. I wouldn't have a lot of freedom. And I'll like it. And I'm like, that is delusional. That's now we're back in the psych ward, like you said, L.A. as a psych ward, a giant psych ward. We're talking about the majority of the Earth's population as people that live in a psych ward. But the Great Reset is exactly what we're talking about. You were saying it without saying it. That is the goal of the Great Reset, which is to completely reshape society, even down to the notion of a social contract. So independent-minded, do your own research, provide for yourself, have your own tribe, have your family, have your church, have your faith. You do that thing, and then over here, I'm going to do my thing. No. That you're a problem. You're like a cancer that needs to be dealt with, as opposed to the future progressivism. And I hope people see this. What's the reaction to this notion, Mark, talking to Dr. Mark McDonald, that this is all part of a much bigger scheme? How are people responding to that?
It really depends on their level of curiosity and their level of independent thinking prior to the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, people in the urban areas, because of the it's just a takeover, really, of education, K through 12, public, private, as well as universities, by the left. And I don't mean liberal. I mean the left with a capital L.
Yeah.
I mean Leninist, Stalinist philosophy, which is anti-family, anti-religion, pro-state, anti-capitalist. It is a cultural and economic form of Marxism. That is what they are teaching in schools throughout Los Angeles and throughout the country.
Yeah.
I know LA because I actually have students that are in those schools that come to my practice, private and public. It's not a public school issue. It's across the board. Even some of the religious schools are teaching this now.
Oh yeah.
I mean, look at the number of pastors and rabbis who completely caved when the government said, shut down your churches, shut down your synagogues, force vaccine mandates and masks on your parishioners and congregants, almost all of them just dutifully complied. So given in the urban area how poorly educated young people are, and I say young, like up to late 20s, early 30s, the percentage of people who hear what we just talked about and are even curious, much less agreeing to it, but just sort of wondering, huh, that sounds kind of dystopian. I wonder, can you tell me more about it? It's very low. I would say it's probably 10 to 20% of the people that I run into in Los Angeles, which means 80% either are completely ignorant or they just don't care. They just don't care. They are in the leave me alone. I still can get my Postmates delivery, right, my coffee, my food. I have a Tesla. I can get in the carpool lane. I have a very good private security force up in the hills in Malibu or Tahunga Canyon. And my kids go to a really nice $40,000 a year private school and they Uber back and forth to home. And I'm working from home anyway, probably out of Tahoe in my cabin, because I'm in a Zoom class that doesn't really need to involve himself in the rest of society. They are going to sit there and believe this nonsense until the hordes come over the walls,
until
it turns into a favela like Brazil, and you actually have people breaking into the gates of their mansions, which is happening now in Beverly Hills.
Oh, absolutely.
There are people walking in and robbing women in baby carriages behind the gates of their mansions on the cameras that they've set up for their Ring doorbells, and then running off with it with handguns. This is already happening. So it's going to happen. It's going to come for you at some point. The question is, are you going to wake up now or are you going to wake up later?
Right. That's exactly right. And that's why, you know, there's a certain road here that we have to take, which is just a road of faith. I don't know how people are going to respond to what you say and what I say. And I don't particularly care. Ultimately, I get on the radio and I do this stuff 5 days a week, as I have for years. And I'll continue to do it because I'm going to be a watchman on the wall. You can fire at me all you want. You can try to take me off the platform all you want. We already got pulled off of YouTube. I mean, you just the fact that we're banned on YouTube for 2 weeks right now, we would have been permanently banned with you on today. So that's an interesting little turn of fate. But we have to continue to speak the truth. And have you been – I want to talk about this on the other side of the break. That'll be our last segment because we're coming up on a break in about 30 seconds. I want to ask if there's any good news in this whole story. Have you been encouraged by anything that you've seen? And then I want to ask as a parent, by the way, when you listed off all those different silos, if you believe this, if you're part of this, I was in all of those, including owning my own generator. So I'm in like in all those homeschooling, all that religious zealot, all that kind of stuff. But is there any kind of a silver lining to this cloud? Is there any good news? Are you encouraged by anything? And then help us understand as parents, especially when it comes to masking and fear, what we can do. So we're going to turn you loose as a clinical psychiatrist in the fourth segment and try to help people wake them up, yes, with the truth, but give them some tools. And how can we be better parents? Because our kids are being ruined by this. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show with Dr. Mark McDonald. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking to Dr. Mark McDonald today, clinical psychiatrist, also part of America's Frontline Doctors. Praise the Lord for that group out there speaking the truth. Mark and I were just talking about speaking the truth. And you were saying that even in your practice with your patients, Mark, that these young ones, you're telling them all, hey, listen, the adults have been lying to you for the last 2 years. And people, and because we were talking about this on the break, people ask me, hey, Steve, where do you get your information? Like, what website do you go to? I'm like, first of all, you need to understand that you can't trust any of them implicitly. But you were saying something about, okay, let's assume you know nothing. So I wanted to make sure, because this is really helpful information in our last segment. So go back into that thought. So people are like, I don't know who to trust. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know who to read. And you're telling your young patients, hey, we parents, us adults, we've been lying to you. The society of adults has been lying to you for 2 years. So what do you do about it?
Well, this is what I suggest and recommend. Go backwards and look at what was told, what was said, and whether it turned out to be true or not after the fact. Do that with different sources, people you like, people you don't like, people you trust, people you don't trust, and then see who was right, who was telling the truth. You can always discover the truth if you go backwards in time. Once you've done that, now you've gathered a group of sources that you can rely on, because most likely the people that were telling you the truth, or if they made a mistake, they stood up for it and said, I acknowledged it. Those people are very likely to be giving you good, truthful information in the future. That is the best way to determine who is honest and who is not. See what their record is. That's the first thing that I suggest to people. I don't care where you're from, what your politics are. Go back. Can you honestly tell me that Anthony Fauci was telling you the truth the past 2 years? I don't care if you think he's a god or not. I couldn't care less. He is an unequivocal liar, period. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. He has been lying to you for at least 2 years, probably 40.
Yeah.
The next thing I tell people to do is go and find people who are like-minded. If you are calm and sane and rational, find other people like you. Because if you hang out with people who are crazy, scared, psychotic, it's going to make you crazy too.
Yep, that's right.
You've got to do that. And if you're just a little anxious and a little scared, but you're just kind of not really sure what to do and you just need a little push, go find people who are stronger than you. Mm-hmm. Go find people who can help mentor you. Go to the people who are a step ahead of you on the road. Stop wasting your time with people who just keep reinforcing the same sort of distorted and fear-inducing, fear-mongering thinking. Go find people who you aspire to become. That's the second thing that I tell people to do. And then, you know, the third thing is ask yourself what your real priorities and goals are in life. Ask yourself, will I be uncomfortable? Can I make myself uncomfortable in order to support and sustain those values? If you love your children, if you believe that they are that important to you, you may need to move somewhere else to get them out of a government school. Or if you can't, homeschool them. And if you can't do that, you're going to have to find some other support. Maybe you can do a community homeschool. You can do work share time. There are always ways to achieve your goals. So do not think that you are a victim of circumstance, that you're just sort of floating around, you know, in the waves, just being drifting back and forth. You might be being pulled by the waves, but you can still swim in a certain direction, in a certain course. You can find other people to help you. So think for yourself.
Yeah.
Act on your values, find like-minded people, and then be willing to make sacrifices and take risks to stand up for them, even if it means temporary discomfort. We are not going to survive as an individual or as a nation if we keep worshiping the altar of safetyism.
That's right.
We will not and we cannot. We are meant to live a full life. We are not meant to live a safe life. And that means that we have to take risks. And I know this may sound harsh or callous or scary to people, but it is the truth. And I think the truth more than anything is important. I don't care if you agree or disagree with me, you at least have to acknowledge that this is what's real and this is what's truthful. That's what I tell parents to do when they come to me and ask, what do I do?
Yeah, and it's so good. This came up earlier today in one of my classes, and I was telling the students about the average lifespan of most civilizations, that they all kind of go through the same evolution, to use that word loosely. So this is called the Teitler Circle. So from bondage, from bondage you go to faith. Just follow this in the American story if you want. Then courage, then liberty, then abundance, then selfishness, then complacency, then apathy, which is then driving you into dependence, then you're driven back into bondage. That's exactly what happens in every stinking civilization in the history of the world. And that's where we're at right now. We're in this apathy, which has now turned to dependence and bondage because the government's going to save you from this. What have you seen as a clinical psychiatrist, Mark? How has this impacted our children? And then speak to us towards the time we have left about how do we, as parents and grandparents, how do we kind of minister and care for these kids who have been abused for the last 2 years by the entire society and in many cases by their own parents?
Well, the impact has been devastating. The children in my practice are anxious, they're depressed, they're socially awkward, they're unable to speak clearly and enunciate because of all these masks that they've been wearing for the last 2 years. They are overweight, they're dependent on screens, phones, computers, they're addicted to video games. They cannot separate from their parents and go on sleepovers. They are unable to challenge themselves in athletics. They are unable to ask girls out on dates. They are unwilling and unable to travel. They have lost 2 years of education and critical thinking. Everything has been dumbed down. The CDC just a few days ago announced that the correct or healthy developmental level in children, the bar, the base, will be moved down by 2 years.
Jeez.
So if you're 2 years behind, you're now right in the norm. They just rewrote the rules to indicate that what is a form of 2 years of loss of development is now considered to be normative and okay. This is the CDC just 2 days ago. So this is a crisis that I have never seen before in my lifetime. And it is completely covering the entire country. It is nationwide. It is everywhere. So what do we do about this? Well, something positive that I'm seeing is mothers are finally turning their neurosis their hysteria of masculinity, and they're turning it into anger.
Yeah.
And they are striking. They are pulling their kids out of school. They are finally standing up and saying no in large numbers. And these are liberal, Democrat, Republican women. It's all different types of women, native-born, immigrant, old, young, rich, and poor. We saw that in Virginia a few months ago. It's now spreading throughout the country. And children are following their lead. Thank goodness they're following the models of their parents.
Yep.
So ironically, who I was criticizing very much so in my book, United States of Fear, which are hysterical women, are now starting to lead the charge to take their country back and take their kids back. What I would like to see more of is I'd like to see men stand up and show some cojones and take back their families and their communities. Because without men, without strong men, we cannot win this fight. Women cannot do this on their own. We need the men to come back in the fold. We need them to stand up and take risks, take the masks off, and do your job. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to see more of, especially in the urban areas. These absent fathers that have been around for 20 or 30 years now are strongly needed. We need these men to come back. So I do have some hope. I do have some rational optimism for the future because of what I'm seeing now. And I'm seeing as the politics shift, not the science, as the politics shifts, I'm seeing all the mandate walls collapsing, all of the masking, all of these antisocial distancing. They're all it's all going away. It's going to be done by Easter. I guarantee it. But I want to leave people with this piece of sort of warning that this is not the war. This is the battle, and we're going to win the battle. I have no doubt.
Yep.
But the war remains, and the war is for independence versus dependency. That's we have to keep that in mind. And if we don't, if we just sit back and say, wow, let's become complacent again, we've won the battle, I really think that we will be doomed. And if America is doomed, if America does not survive and prosper, neither does the world.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's right. We still have that place in the world, whether you think it or not, because Joe Biden's the president, it's irrelevant. We still have that place in the world. And those are so many great points, Mark. And that's where men have to, you know, hey, I'm off at work. Well, most of you are working from home now anyway. So you can go to the school board. You can get engaged. And by the way, whether you like it or not, God designed a system in which men, this isn't a value statement, this is just the way it works. If you lack male leadership, sure, God can use women. He did it throughout the scriptures. But you're called, guys, to stand up and be the first one in line. You're the one with the sword. You're the one with the shield. You take the incoming fire. You protect your wife and you protect your children. And until we do that, we're in trouble. And again, this is like, hey, look, Donald Trump won. Everything's going to be fine. America's back in action. Everything's good. I'm just going to go back to my apathy. No, you can't do that. And now what you're going to see, Mark, and I agree with you, this the battle will be over by Easter, but then you're going to watch the whole liberal establishment try to take credit. Hey, you guys, you don't have to wear any mask anymore. Want to know why? Us. We saved you. The small g God up here, otherwise known as government, saved you. And we have to realize there's a much bigger game afoot, which is what you were just articulating. And we need to keep banging that drum and sounding that warning. Because this is a much bigger game afoot. It's not just COVID 2020, 2021, and 2022 up until Easter. There's a much bigger game afoot for tyranny versus freedom. It's really that simple, isn't it?
Just look at what's happening in Canada. They're 6 to 9 months ahead of us. Do you want to be like that? Do you want to live in that kind of a country? I'm terrified of that. I do not want to be in Canada, in the United States.
Yeah.
This is our future. You know, it's just on the other side of our borders. Wake up. If you need to go to alternative news sources or get off the New York Times, MSNBC, ABC feeds to find out what's going on in Canada, do it. Go to Rebel News. This is reality. It's coming for us, so you better be ready.
Yeah, and I really appreciate what you're saying earlier about being curious and being intellectually curious and be willing to don't assume every position you hold is set in stone and be willing to question everything. I just put the link up for Mark's Substack. I've got the link up for American Frontline Doctors. I have the link up for the book, United States of Fear, How America Fell Victim to a Mass Delusional Psychosis. Is there going to be a follow-up book to that, Mark?
There is. I'm actually right now writing it, and it's going to be called Freedom from Fear.
Excellent.
A 12-step program for an individual and national recovery modeled after AA and Jordan B. Peterson's 12 Rules for Life.
Yeah, now we need an entire 12-step program for an entire nation, if not the whole world.
Fear addiction. That's what it's in.
Oh, yeah,
2022,
man.
Break the addiction.
That's
the
awesome.
Future.
Mark, hold on a second because I want to pray for you when we're off the radio. But
got it.
Thanks so much for being here today. It's been a huge blessing. We'll definitely
Thank
do it again.
Steve.
All right, everybody, there you go. Another great day of truth, like it or not. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
another program powered by the Truth Network.